Please subscribe to OK Fair Enough with Sean and Charlie on iTunes and rate and review the show there. You can also stream and download every episode ever made at okfairenoughpodcast.podbean.com. We are also available on the Stitcher and Podbean apps. Enhanced episodes that include pictures are available on YouTube. Just search OK Fair Enough. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/okfairenough. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at okfairenoughpod. And contact us by email at okfairenoughpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks and enjoy the show. Welcome to OK Fair Enough with Sean and Charlie. I'm Charlie. Today we discuss war movies. Fair warning, there are a ton we don't get to. There are a lot of war movies. Fair warning, too, we don't go into detail about some war movies we mention. Big subject, lots to get to. Fair warning, three, we're probably going to piss off some people because I don't like Platoon. Fuck you. I don't care. I don't care for it as a film. You fuck Platoon. And before you say any comments that we make about this, if anything can be misinterpreted as we don't support our soldiers or we don't love America, fuck you. Of course we do. We both have family that have served. My dad served in World War II in Korea in two different branches of the military, the Army and the Navy. Flip that, Navy and then the Army. Anyways, Sean and I discuss war movies. Hope you guys enjoy. Thanks, guys.
I love the guy. He's hands down my best friend. And has been since.
That's hurtful. No.
Oh, fuck you. If I gotta hear about Steve one more time.
You're nothing like Steve. Steve rubs my back.
Plays with my asshole.
He plays with my asshole while he licks my earlobe. But that's no, impressive. It's infuriating. But the thing about him that's infuriating is that if he doesn't want to talk,
He
will not talk. It doesn't matter if there's a microphone on. Doesn't matter if there's a microphone off. Hi guys. We're talking about Richard from No Hope Studios. And he'll never listen to this. We record in his house sometimes, and he will never listen to this. No. I find it hilarious. So I'm gonna talk some shit about him real quick. One of my nephews, Joe, who occasionally listens to this show, they were down visiting from New York. And my nephew Joe is like one of his most favorite stories to tell that explains the nature of me and Richard's relationship. Richard comes to my house, does not knock, just walks in. Me and Joe and Joe's wife and my wife are watching television. He comes in, stands in the kitchen, just stands at the kitchen counter. I have a big open floor plan in my house, so it's the kitchen and living room are essentially connected. And I just keep watching TV or whatever, and my nephew Joe's sitting there, and he's like, when are they going to acknowledge one another? And finally, 10 minutes later, I look at Richard and I go, what's up, man? He goes, hey, how's it going? You know, and my nephew Joe was blown away by this. And I would love to have Richard on to talk about war movies, which is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But I can't guarantee he'll fucking talk. So, but war movies, one of the things that he really, really drives him nuts is they never actually show, Black Hawk helicopters. It's always these old, I think they're called Apaches or something like that. Like these old Vietnam-era helicopters. And we're watching Generation Kill right now, which is a miniseries that was on HBO about the invasion of Iraq with the, I want to say, 1st Marine Recon or something like that. And every single time he sees a helicopter, he throws a goddamn fit.
We haven't used those since the fucking murder.
It's funny you bring that up because that was one of my most war movies, at least the maybe some more recently have been taking the Iraq War and Afghanistan War, but most of the big movies and you could also say that it has a lot to do with the fact that movies became popular after. World War One, probably. So you have a lot about World War II and Nam, and that's the huge. You very rarely ever see a movie about the Korean War.
Well,
I mean,
MASH. That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, Well, no, there are probably other.
Regarding what you're talking about with World War One, there are tons of silent movies and stuff that are about World War One.
But nobody watches silent movies.
No. Well, yeah, because who wants to fucking read? You know, Charlie Chaplin was a genius. I never heard him say a fucking thing.
Yeah, he sounded like Bob Goldthwait.
He could. He could sound like Bobcat Goldthwait or the guy from the B-52s. I don't fucking know.
Nice.
But, no, World War II movies are... World War II and Vietnam era movies are probably the two most popular era of war movies to make. Civil War movies, there aren't very many that I think are very good.
Yeah.
Except for Glory. Glory's great.
Dances with Wolves, but that was very skating. You're sketching the, or like skating the edge
of
the war.
I think the first 5 minutes was during the Civil War.
No, I mean, the most of the thing is during the Civil War, it's the westward expansion. Like he goes to that army fort where he sees the crazy dude that ends up killing himself.
Oh, right. I have pissed my pants.
That is such a great part. But anyway.
But Dances with Wolves is not a war movie.
No. But see, and you made a note of this where you say war movies where war is like background.
Like there's very little war.
And then war movies where war is it.
Yeah.
Like Saving Private Ryan.
It is fucking war.
Yeah, the whole movie is basically war.
Saving Private Ryan. Okay.
My favorite. That's by far my favorite war movie.
It's pretty goddamn good.
You know what? Another movie that's really awesome.
What?
Saving Ryan. Ryan's Ryan.
But no, Steven Spielberg, he can do no wrong when it comes to war movies.
I mean, I'm sure,
except for 1941.
Okay,
and we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, I can't come up with a counterexample just simply because I don't really know who directs what movies most of the time.
Well, Steven Spielberg.
I know who he is.
He made Saving Private Ryan.
Obviously,
yes. But there are two others that were miniseries that were done for HBO called
Band of Brothers
okay. and The Pacific. Have you seen either of those?
I've seen parts of Band of Brothers, never really watched the whole thing, but I've never heard of The Pacific.
The Pacific, well, it wasn't
was
as
Was it more
popular.
Of a documentary?
No.
No?
Okay. No, neither one was a documentary.
Okay.
He and Tom Hanks just have a major boner for World War II.
Yeah.
And of course, it's because like their dads fought and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it is neat when you see war movies now where they actually do show things like post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Whereas they didn't really do that even in war movies from the 80s or 90s. Like Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan, it's got the shaky hand going on. And in Band of Brothers, you start seeing guys gradually breaking down mentally. The Pacific, you see people like going from beginning to end, not be able.
And I actually didn't think about this before, but I'm curious on your thought on this. When you watch a World War II movie, it's very, almost all are very patriotic.
Of course.
They're very, very pompous. Like, I don't want to say pompous in a bad way, but like it has that air of superiority almost built into it. But when you see a non-movie, it's almost always a political statement about something. And it's crazy because, you know...
World War II is more about the human spirit.
It reflects what actually happened, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The what happened at the time. Like, World War II, it was during a time where the U.S. was... Not obviously not in a good place because it's right after the Great Depression, but it was still
and we had gimpy legs for president. We had a president that couldn't stand up, and we beat the shit out of some people with him.
Yeah,
but no. But the point that you're making though is, and this may be an unpopular statement, I don't really care. The last war that our country was in, where you cannot argue about whether or not we were right or wrong for fighting it,
World War II.
Was World War II.
Yeah.
And that's why like World War II movies have that.
Mm-hmm.
They're heroes. They were the greatest generation.
But I'm curious about whether or not that's because it was prior to, we didn't have like the internet. There wasn't rapid transfer of information as much as we have today.
Oh no!
And what I would say was now. I'm not going to get into a conspiracy theory simply because I don't really want to, but there are some that are out there that talk about how Franklin knew about it prior to.
Oh yeah, attack. No, we apparently had Jews trying to get into the country that it's like almost like Cuba'd it, like came over in like inner tubes or some shit.
Yeah,
we sent them back.
Mm-hmm.
We said no, fuck off.
Yeah. So I mean, I think the reason we celebrate World War II has been like the last majorly celebrated.
Yeah.
Is because people for the longest time had these rose-colored glasses. When you know, you start from the beginning of the inception of the country,
yeah.
It was always very. And even after the, you know, even from the Civil War, now I didn't live during this time, obviously.
So I don't know
the morale and spirit of the population during that time, but it seems as if
it seems that so far as the Civil War is concerned, it seems like so far as the morality of that war and why they were fighting it and what they're fighting for totally depends on the opinion of the person writing about
absolutely
what fucking happened. And you know, if you have tons of white guilt, it was about slavery.
Yeah.
If you have tons of white guilt, but you don't like to admit you have tons of white guilt, it was about states' rights.
Yeah.
And if you're a piece of shit, it was about keeping the darkies in line. So.
Well, I feel like we've kind of tangented off of war movies and gone more to war in politics. But I'm going to bring us back to war movies, and this is
save us.
This
Sean.
Is the
save
exact
us.
Reason why I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
I love the song "One" by Metallica.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the video to it?
Yeah, but it's a lot of footage from an old movie.
Yeah, it's called Johnny Got His Gun or Johnny Get Your Gun. I wrote down one, but I'm actually starting to think I got that wrong.
Is there anything like Billy Get Your Gun by Bon Jovi for the soundtrack for Young Guns 2?
No.
Good.
But I'm watching this music video, and I was like, did they make this movie because of the video? You know, because I'm naive and an idiot and thinking that they would make this whole thing based off for this one thing.
It's Metallica. You never fucking know.
Fair enough. But you know,
nothing they've done in recent years makes sense. So.
I've researched it, and it is an actual movie. It was from like the early 60s or something like that. But yeah, the premise of the movie. Now, this is another one of those movies where war is kind of like a backstory.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it starts out a kid and his father on a farm, and they're talking, and it does a lot of flashbacks. And actually, I haven't seen the movie. I want to watch it, but
what
from what I hear, it's
again?
Very boring. It's called Johnny Got His Gun.
Oh,
Johnny
okay. The Metallica thing. Yeah, okay.
But then it talks about how this guy gets injured. He steps on like a landmine, and he can't communicate. He can't talk. He can't speak.
Yeah.
But all the dialogue is from him inside his head.
Yeah.
So he can feel, but he can't communicate to the outside world. He's like basically telling him to fucking kill him.
But with using Morse code with like head twitches.
And so that if you listen to the song and you actually,
I'm going to put the song at the end of this episode. Because well, Lord like knows Metallica is like totally okay.
It's like an 8-minute song.
That's fine. It's One by Metallica. And
that fucking riff to the end is badass.
And obviously Metallica is totally okay with people sharing their music without permission. I mean, there's no way that they would ever come after me, right? That it can't lose.
Well, we didn't get it from Napster, so I think we'll be okay.
No, that's actually where I got this copy. Nice. Yeah, no, I have an MP3 that's like 15 years old.
Nice.
Yeah, but
yeah, I think that movie it's kind of proves my point. Kind of, I don't think it had to do with the Vietnam War because it was predated, but I think it reflects some of that the idea that war is noble, but it takes it and flips it on its head. Like it
starts
talking
about
the flip
size.
Yeah,
you know what though? It's interesting you say that because there is one movie that I thought about, and I brought up two actors. That were made famous basically by World War II. That's Audie Murphy and Harold Russell. Harold Russell was a World War II veteran who lost both of his hands in the war. He had hook hands.
Okay.
And he, in 1946, the winner of Best Picture at the Academy Awards that year was a movie called The Best Years of Our Lives. And it was about soldiers returning home from the war. And Harold Russell was chosen mainly because he could actually act, and he didn't have any fucking hands.
No hands.
He got a special Academy Award.
I hate to cut you off. Can you let my pussy outside?
Yeah, sure. Come here, little pussy.
No, don't pick her up.
Don't pick her up.
Hey, by her, I mean him.
Just open the door.
Yeah, just open the door a slight bit.
All right. God damn it, now I've let in more cats.
Yeah, all right, fuck it.
This is... Why does everything have to be pandemonium? My favorite line from Boardwalk Empire. In any event... Your cat hissed at you, that's dope.
Fucking retarded.
All right, so anyways, I was talking about The Best Years of Our Lives. The guy, Harold Russell, actually won a special Academy Award that year. for basically just for making the movie. The idea was by making this movie, you're helping our boys coming back from the front. And this movie was about overcoming various disabilities coming back from the war. Some guys had problems with PTSD.
Yeah.
That's not what they called it back then, but they called it, I think, battle fatigue or something like that. One guy doesn't have any fucking hands, and then another guy I think ended up being just fine.
But is that really a disability?
Not having any hands? Well, it depends. I mean would you rather
just walk up to a chick and be like, "Listen, I haven't been able to masturbate in a while. Can you help me out with that?"
Well, the other question is this: would you rather have hooks for hands, or would you rather fuck a Marilyn Monroe corpse that sounded like your dad or something? That's from a Six Questions we did a couple months ago. Check it out. But yeah, I think he's the only person in the history of the Academy Awards who actually himself received two Oscars in 1 year, because he also won Best Supporting Actor.
Wow.
And he got that as well. So, and if you look at like his IMDb, he like did that movie and like three or four other things.
Yeah.
And that's it. And his movie career lasted from like 1945 to like 2005, technically, because he did something in the early 2000s for a minute.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to typecast somebody that doesn't have hands. Like, that's not going to come up very often within a context of a movie. So.
Listen here, buddy. The movie's called The Juggler. You're going to play an alcoholic juggler.
Now, we haven't really touched on, and this is actually kind of my own issue. When I first started thinking of these war movies,
Yeah. Everything
was World War II, Nam, Afghanistan, Iraq.
Yeah. But
war movies, you could technically call Braveheart a war movie.
Oh, absolutely.
You could call, like, Alexander, which, even though it was a shitty movie.
Oh, God, that was such a terrible movie.
But I'm saying, like,
fuck Colin Farrell.
You know, those old style, you know, you go back into like ancient Greece or 300.
300's a war movie. Yeah.
A very crazy, out of nowhere, not realistic in any fucking way whatsoever war movie.
Well, I don't know. I think that they had magical elephants back then. No. That is true, because when you hear the word war movie, you don't think swords. You think automatic
And that's why, like, Braveheart is probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
Even though it's completely historically inaccurate.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Battle of Stirling Bridge in that movie was not fought on a bridge.
Yeah. No, there were so many things, like the French king's daughter, the girl that he fucks and impregnates, like, five. And he was like,
"Oh no, that part was true." Wallace did fuck her when she was five, and his seed was so strong it just laid in wait
until she was
old enough to conceive.
Nice,
yeah.
But yeah, like I would say, Saving Private Ryan is my favorite war movie. Even though Braveheart, I actually kind of like better, and it is considered a war movie. But because I don't consider it a war movie, like, you know what I'm saying?
See, with me, I've watched Braveheart recently for the first time in years, and maybe I'm getting old, maybe I'm getting jaded. Does not hold up like it did when I was 17. When I was 17, I thought, this is the greatest film in the history of films. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it turns out Mel Gibson is an anti-Semite or racist asshole. He told his ex-girlfriend he hoped that she got raped by, quote, this is not me, this is Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson's an asshole, not me. Hope she gets raped by, quote, a pack of niggers. Not a gang, not a group. A pack. That makes it even more racist. He's saying they're wolves.
Yeah.
Sorry. But now, question for you. All right. There are some quote-unquote great war movies that I don't like.
Okay.
That have won multiple, you know, they've won multiple Academy Awards and everything, and there are two of them. One of these, anybody who has a brain is going to enjoy. Is
Full Metal
agree
Jacket.
With me? No. Oh. No. Full Metal Jacket didn't win anything, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Because it came out the same year as Platoon.
Apocalypse Now. Oh, Platoon.
Platoon.
Okay.
No, I love Full Metal Jacket. I love Apocalypse Now.
Okay.
I hate Platoon.
Okay.
Okay? Some people are going to be furious about that. I don't care. I also hate The Hurt Locker. Okay. And a lot of people who are fans of war movies will agree with me. The Hurt Locker was just a pile of bullshit wrapped around a fucking movie reel and shown in movie theaters.
I mean, I didn't have a historical perspective from that movie, or even, you know, I know it's a modern war movie, but I didn't. I went into it. First off, I like Jeremy Renner. I like him as an actor. He's kind of cool.
I've enjoyed him since National Lampoon's Senior Trip.
Okay, he was in an episode of House. But anyway, I didn't. I thought it was an okay movie. I've never rewatched it. I probably never will.
I watched it once, and at the end of it, I watched it with my cousin Richard, who is an Army infantry veteran, peacetime soldier, but a veteran all the same. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the movie, we just kind of looked at each other, just like, that was terrible, right? Like, that was all. No, there are so many things in it that don't make any sense. A guy whose job is to defuse bombs is just rogue and does whatever the fuck he wants. And yeah. It's just like, no, that guy, he would actually have like an entire unit or whatever. I was talking to my cousin Richard about it. Like, he's like, he'd be embedded with another unit. Mm-hmm. They'd be there with him, covering him.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And you know, going into whorehouses in Iraq and all this shit.
Our biggest issue is we're assuming that these Hollywood war movies are going to have some sort of historical, like, accuracy. And that's just a fallacy in itself.
Well, and that's the other thing, is that most war movies that are even based on a true story are told through the perspective of the person who's writing about it.
Reality doesn't play well in Hollywood, and that's the problem. You can't keep people's interests by telling a story about some guy and...
Well, you've seen Black Hawk Down, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Black Hawk Down, Eric Bana is in it. Mm-hmm. And his character, apparently... almost every other character in the movie actually existed. Eric Bana did not. They needed him to be kind of like this symbolic Jesus figure. So they wrote him in.
I think I remember something. I don't remember if it was Black Hawk Down. I think it was. There was one character in that they actually ended up changing his name because the guy that he was originally supposed to be portraying got in trouble for like child his election.
Stepdaughter.
Yeah. Okay.
Little known fact about that guy, the Ewan McGregor character.
Yeah. That's right.
He was my cousin's sergeant for a while.
Holy shit.
In the Army.
Richards?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. and I was like, hey. And I found that out. I was like, oh, neat. And I started looking him up. And I just went, oh, hey, you want to know what he's up to now? Well, he raped a fucking child. And he said, sure enough, he goes, he had a hard time hearing people. You know, his hearing was gone from a couple of RPG blasts that he was too close to.
Well, so, we talked about mental illness a little while ago, or crime, and then we kind of got into mental illness. And,
sure.
And that's another thing that's very, you know, this isn't at war movies, but it does it does relate to war. The treatment of our veterans is very...
don't even.
Yeah, it's...
they did a really good job of depicting that in Born on the 4th of July, how horrid the conditions were for veterans coming back that needed... some help before they could go back out into the world. Like the orderlies did not give a fuck. The nurses didn't care. They were just getting high and fucking... And apparently, like... And you see this, and since Born on the 4th of July is an Oliver Stone film... Now, Oliver Stone's a Vietnam veteran. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I don't think he's a fan of the government or the military in general. So you see that... And he's doing a movie based on a book written by the character that Tom Cruise is playing, who I can't remember who he is right now. But you would think, like, oh, no, that's just Oliver Stone trying to stick it to him a little bit. No, apparently, like, later investigations showed, like, no, that was actually pretty fucking accurate.
Yeah, now you bring up, I brought up a lot of different movies. One that is very close to the present, The American Sniper.
American Sniper.
Huge,
I saw
huge
that
movie recently.
Just a couple of weeks ago.
I actually still have not seen it. I don't know if I will, and it's not like a political statement or anything. I have an issue, and this is completely void of anything like political. I seriously hate watching movies that everybody gushes over. It annoys me to watch a movie that everybody says this is
the greatest movie.
You have to watch it. I'm like,
no, I will say this.
Don't say that.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah,
I'm not going to gush over.
Well, Bradley Cooper's awesome.
Bradley Cooper's really good in it.
I don't remember his name.
Oh, like, Chris Kyle.
I don't like to talk bad about somebody I don't know.
Yeah,
and that was a bet, but.
I mean, he was a murderer.
No, I'm not even talking about what he did.
But not in a bad way.
I'm talking about once he got out of the Army.
Yeah.
He just did some very shady and fucked up things.
Like what?
There was this whole thing where he talked about...
like being an American hero? No. Sorry, go on.
He claimed to have punched out Jesse Ventura, which turned out to be completely He actually got sued over it and lost.
Well, yeah.
So whether or not that was true or false, it doesn't really matter. But Ventura
sued his estate.
Yeah, which was stupid.
We're Navy SEALs. But we all stick together and support one another once we get out. But he said he punched me once, and now I want every penny that his widow has.
Okay.
Yeah.
Completely besides the point. That was the first one that just came to mind.
Yeah.
But no, there were some other things that... It just seems like he did a lot of shady bullshit right afterwards.
Well, he was fucked up in the gourd.
Yeah.
I mean, he struggled with PTSD hard. I think he did 4 tours.
Okay.
I mean, it's...
I didn't say he didn't have an excuse for it.
Oh, sure. No, and now he claims in his book, apparently, that he never killed a kid.
Yeah.
In the movie, they depict a kid being his first kill.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling Chris Kyle probably did shoot a kid over there.
Well, the question is, what do you define a kid? Like, if you define a kid as a 13-year-old carrying an AK?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the question, because some people would consider that an insurgent. He's old enough to carry the gun.
Him being an insurgent is beside the point.
Okay.
He's a kid. Now, and I'm not saying that what he did was wrong.
Yeah.
If you take it out... Here's the thing, man, over there...
Because a 13-year-old could fire a fucking rocket launcher.
It's not like... here's another reason why it's so much nicer to watch World War II... films versus every other film since is because in World War II, the enemy was defined.
Yeah.
They wore uniforms. They're easy to pick out. They were all at least 17 or 18 years old minimum.
Yeah.
In almost every war we've been in since, you have to deal with child soldiers and women fucking pretending to be fucking regular women when they're soldiers, suicide bombers. Even Vietnam had suicide bombers.
Yeah.
The whole nine.
Well, World War II had suicide bombers. They're called kamikaze pilots.
Yeah, but they're Japanese. They don't count. fuck the Japanese. I'm glad we nuked them. You look into the circumstances around why we chose to nuke them. I think most people, when you look at it rationally, would agree we did the right thing.
We nuked civilians.
Yeah.
And then we rounded up Japanese Americans and put them in internment camps.
Well, okay, that I can kind of understand. Like, maybe we went a little too far on that one. No, the reason we nuked Japan was because we had reliable intelligence. After we started invading Okinawa and all that stuff, like, once we got to Okinawa, which was considered almost mainland Japan, this battle is actually depicted in The Pacific, the miniseries on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw how much fight the Japanese had in them, and we saw that, like, women were literally willing to give their babies to soldiers to hold, and their babies were strapped with bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when we saw, like, how far they were willing to go, we also got intelligence that they were literally training women and children to fight with pikes. Now, if you don't know what a pike is, it's essentially a pointed stick.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to make us go into Japan and kill every single man, woman, and child before they surrendered.
Yeah. And then the
thought is we saved a million Japanese lives by nuking the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And we do it once, and Japan's just like, bet you ain't got another one. And we're just like, oh yeah, boom! And the truth is, we didn't have another one after the second one. It would have taken 6 months to build another one, so it was actually a bit of a gamble.
Yeah.
This has been World War II History Chat with Charlie. We're supposed to be talking about war movies. All right, now, terrible, terrible, terrible war movies.
Okay.
All right. Have you ever seen Wind Talkers?
Yeah, unfortunately.
That...
Nicolas Cage makes any movie horrible.
I know! What the fuck happened to him? He used to be, like, one of the best actors in the world, and now he's gone crazy.
He'll throw in one really good movie randomly out of nowhere for no good reason.
Like,
Bangkok Dangerous was great.
Was it really?
It was great.
He
plays this, like, assassin who's just, It's so not Nicolas Cage.
Actually, on the Nicolas Cage tip, one of his early films in the 80s was a war film called, well, maybe not war, but a film called Birdie.
Okay.
And it was him and Matthew Modine, and they were returning home from the Vietnam War.
Okay.
The 80s was the decade of Vietnam movies. I can't think of a World War II movie from the 80s. like apparently in the 80s, like, World War II just didn't fucking happen. So... But they come back, and Nicolas Cage's character had lost a few of his teeth.
Okay.
Here's how insane Nicolas Cage is. To get into character, he had some of his front teeth removed, like, permanently, like gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
That is commitment to the point where you scare the shit out of you.
Yeah, from what I hear, he is the ultimate
He's a nutshell.
No, what's the word I'm looking for?
Spendthrift? It's where he spends money poorly.
It's not a character actor. What's the word? Fuck. There's a word for somebody who gets into character for their role.
Method
actor. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, he is the ultimate method actor from what I hear. Like, that doesn't necessarily translate into
Daniel
a good movie.
Day-Lewis.
I'm not saying he's the best. Okay. I'm saying he is, like, well, I mean, because you could talk about Christian Bale. Guy fucking dropped down to like 80 pounds for the machinist.
And then he gained like 150 or something.
Muscle for Batman. Yeah.
How his body didn't
Jared Leto is a. He fucking. His transformation between everything, you know.
Yeah, now he's in the new Joker. That's just looking dope.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited. But anyway, we'll get on that later.
It's Nicolas Cage in Windtalkers is Nicolas Cage.
Mm hmm.
I can't even begin to describe how bad a movie this is. Nothing that goes on in it makes any sense. None of it seems... He's sitting there just slugging booze in, like, World War II Europe, like, in between fighting battles. I have a feeling it was probably pretty difficult to find booze if you were a non-commissioned officer.
I'm confused.
What?
Okay, you know what? I'm thinking of the Mel Gibson movie... About the Apache.
Oh, we were soldiers.
No. It was the Apache, or not Apache. It was the Native American Codebreakers.
No, you're thinking of Nicolas Cage and Windtalkers.
Is that what it was?
Yes, it was.
But I thought there was a Mel Gibson one about the same thing.
Mel Gibson was in Windtalkers. I mean, not Windtalkers, shit. that's going to make it confusing. We were soldiers.
Okay.
Once and Young. That's the name of the book that the...
All right. I mean, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
We were soldiers is also a pretty poor war movie. You can't beat Saving Private Ryan. You just can't.
It was great. Like, first off, like, we might as well go ahead and start and go into detail, because it was such a fucking great movie. It's hard to talk about war movies and not really get into it. You start out with... First, you know, start out with the old guy in the cemetery. Boom. You get the emotion. Then instantly you're thrown into D-Day on the beach with motherfuckers' stomachs laying on the side.
Dude loses his arm, walks around. Oh, there's my arm. Picks up his arm, runs away.
It's fucking crazy. You know, you got the you're talking to somebody. Next thing you know, they get pegged in the head. And
this is how good a war movie it was. Movie theaters started warning veterans.
Yeah. Like, you will
you
fucking
could
have
a flashback watching this. My parents had some really good friends named the McElhennies. And Mr. McElhenney, I think his first name was Fred, because of course it would be with a last name like Fred McElhenney, and being a World War II infantryman, was actually a part of D-Day. And I asked him, I was like, did you see Saving Private Ryan? And he goes, I don't need to see Saving Private Ryan. I was like, it's a really good movie, though. And he was like, I don't need to see it. You know, he's like, it's fine with me. And I was like, no, but man, they've never done anything like this before. And he just goes, I stormed the beach at Normandy. I don't need to see Tom Hanks do it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh. And Mr. McElhenney was one of the nicest men I ever met in my life. And I had hit a chord. I was scared shitless of this 80-year-old motherfucker for about 3 seconds. I'm like, this nigga's about to fucking... This dude's about to slip my goddamn throat.
Yeah.
Now, great war movies with very little war. We touched on this for just a second, but I got to get back to it. There are three movies that are absolutely great where there's practically no war.
Okay.
Jarhead. Have you seen it?
No, but
it is also one of the only Gulf War movies I've ever seen.
Okay.
It's about an American scout sniper.
I know it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, Jill Jakenhall. Yeah.
Jill Jakenhall.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal and
I actually don't know who else is in it.
A bunch of people. You know, the Sling Blade's little boyfriend, who's now a grown man. French fry potatoes,
I know you're talking about.
Boy.
Lucas Black.
Yeah, that's it. It's about this scout sniper going to the Gulf War, and he's super excited because he's going to get to kill people, because you spend so much time just learning how to kill people. And my cousin talks about this because he never got to kill people. He goes, I totally understand. There's this one scene where they have not fired a single shot in the entire war. They have literally like just been trying to keep up with all of the aerial assaults and trying to get to a city to fight.
Yeah.
They finally get to this one city, and there's this gigantic air tower, and there's an Iraqi general inside. Their mission was, these two guys, was find a place and take him out so we don't have to drop a ton of ordnance on him. Let's try. We're hoping that a dollar bullet can save us a few thousand dollars in bombs.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, sweet. They get there. They're about to fire the shot. And then the door's kicked in. A superior officer comes in and goes, hold on, stop. I'm dropping a shit ton of bombs on this thing. Dennis Haysbert actually was the guy. Yeah. And I'm going to drop it.
Did he sell up some Allstate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't worry. You're in good hands. and the Peter Sarsgaard.
Okay.
Sarsgaard? Yeah, Sarsgaard.
Something like it.
Yeah, Peter Sarsgaard is with Jake Gyllenhaal. They're partners or whatever. And he goes, come on, man. Look, just let's take this one shot. And then you can bomb the shit out of it. That's fine. Just give us one shot. And he's like, no. I'm just going to bomb the shit out of this place. And Peter Sarsgaard loses his mind. And he's like, just, you fucking pencil-pushing motherfucker. And I look over at my cousin, and he is cringing. And I thought it was just because he was just like, I was like, why did that bother you so much? Something kind of like, no infantryman would ever act like that? He was just like, no, because I've been in that situation. Like, we were about to get on a plane to go to stop an uprising in the Philippines, and they called it off at the last second. He goes, because all you do is train and train and train and train. You want to use what you've learned. He's like, and I never got the chance. And if you like Full Metal Jacket, you're going to really like the movie Tigerland, which everybody knows the beginning of Full Metal Jacket is the best part of Full Metal Jacket when they're in basic. Tigerland is basically the full-length version of that, of Full Metal Jacket.
But it doesn't have Vincent D'Onofrio in it.
No, of course not. Yeah, it's not. Colin Farrell. One of the few Colin Farrell movies where you're like, God damn, Colin Farrell's kind of... He's kind of all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a Colin Farrell movie before Colin Farrell got famous.
Gotcha. Okay.
And, you know, this was a hipster Colin Farrell. Okay. I liked him before he was cool, kind of thing. Yeah, great movie, man.
Well, that's it. Thank you very much for listening, guys. We are going to have to revisit this episode. I think we're going to have to do an entire episode about Vietnam movies. And then one about World War II movies, and then one about other war movies, and then one about Afghanistan and Iraq movies, and yeah. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/okfairenough. Follow us on Twitter at okfairenoughpod, and contact us by email at okfairenoughpodcast@gmail.com. Submit episode ideas. Ask us a question for 6 questions. Send us a rank 'em, or just say, hey, we like the show. We'd love to hear from you guys. Please subscribe to OK Fair Enough with Sean and Charlie on iTunes, and please, 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 please rate and review us there. Every review we get just brings us more listeners, more people hear about us, and we read your reviews on the show. We've done it the 3 times we've gotten a review. You can also stream and download every episode ever made at okfairenoughpodcast.podbean.com. We're also available on the Stitcher and Podbean apps. And enhanced episodes that include pictures are available on YouTube. We're just horribly, horribly behind. You guys want to help with that? Let us know. That'd be great, too. And guys, like always, as long as you keep listening to it, we'll keep making it or some variation thereof. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Hold my breath as I wish for dear. Oh, please, God.